Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an absolute circus, and you almost have to laugh at it because we know they're better than this, but good God almighty, whether it's bunts, whether it's base running blunders, I mean, can't get hits in the clutch, can't make plays, whether it's Volpe, Torrens using his mask as a prop. I mean, it is bad, and I was thinking about this, like, I would imagine one, and hopefully both teams bust out of this by the time they're playing the next Subway Series. But if these two circuses meet up in 2 weeks or so, I don't know if anybody's going to win a game.
That's a good point. Is that next week? Oh, 2 weeks, right. Yeah, 2 weeks, 4th of July. Dude, this is, you're right. You almost have to laugh at it. We ripped them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each team, Mets and Yanks, and they continue to lose. The fact that there's parallels here where both teams, you know, when we did the show on Friday, it's like, oh, Mets and Yankees looking like a Subway Series and all this different stuff. And they haven't won a game since together. It's wild to me. And the Mets continue to have issues with the Braves, as they don't only lose to the Braves, they embarrass themselves. And I don't know how you explain what's going on with the Yankees, where, okay, at least they score a run. But even with that, two solo homers, and those are the only hits. Like, the third hit was bullcrap because that was a ground ball to second that obviously hit the runner's foot, which shouldn't happen. Two solo homers, not to mention the sloppy defense. Like, what is going on?
Hey, don't shortchange those home runs. It ended the streak.
Yeah,
I
know. I
mean, I was thrilled when I saw those balls go over the fence for once. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's, I think you were going here, like, easier to explain away the Mets because of the Braves, and it kind of seen that before out there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with the Yankees offense. I don't enjoy watching baseball the last few nights. Go ahead.
Well, do you think let's focus on the Yankees. Do you think there is legit reason to be concerned? Now, we know that it's not going to be like this. Like, they'll obviously score more runs. They're going to win some ball games. But have you seen enough over this 6-game losing streak? Is there that there's something there that will concern you big picture down the road?
Yes.
Me too.
There is.
And that's a problem. Like, relatively speaking, when we talk about trying to win a World Series, that's why I'd be alarmed with the Yankees. And that would be the fact that if Judge doesn't hit, and I know Boone tried to defend him last night, but come on, dude. He is in a slump. And it's okay. He's allowed to be in a slump. But his slump, you know, striking out 20 times in the last 20, whatever it is, he's been bad. But when he does not hit, the other guys just don't have it.
And that's the problem that jumps out to me here. You know, listen, we've talked about this. Now, we talked about this going into the season. We talked about this when the Yankees were cooking for the most part this entire season. And now we talk about it when Judge is on ice and nobody else is doing anything. I do think that that's a very real thing that is problematic for the Yankees here. Yeah, I said to Sal yesterday, I said the two things that jump out to me, you know, put Aaron Judge to the side for a moment, they still don't have a leadoff hitter, and they still don't have any real protection behind Aaron Judge. So I believe that it's how real, I don't know, but I do believe it is a real thing that plagues the Yankees. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What you've seen with the Mets, what do you believe in terms of the, what's an absolute truth? What is just, well, that's the cycle of baseball. Where are you at with the Mets?
I'm going to say the same thing that I said last year about the Mets. I don't know if you remember this, but I'll refresh your memory here. I would not take them seriously until they beat the Braves head-to-head, took them square on. Now, they had the games that got postponed to push them back the final day of the season, so we all knew that was looming eventually. And even that setup, A, the Mets did not sweep them and bury the Braves. And B, there was always the cushion where even if you lost that first game, you likely were going to win the second game because the other team was not going to try. So that didn't count. While it was nice to win and clinch a spot there, and they did it in dramatic fashion, it didn't make me feel like they exercised the demons of the Braves. And now they come off their first 3-game losing streak, getting swept by the Rays. Okay, it happens. But in typical fashion, now that sets right up into Atlanta. They're taking on water with the injuries and all that stuff. Fine, go beat the Braves. And they had them dead to rights in that first game, and they let the Braves off the mat, and that sets the bad tone for the series and this huge stretch of games. So I need to, the Mets have a lot to prove in the regular season. That's a big difference than the Yankees. Yankees have nothing to prove in the regular season. The Mets have to prove themselves, and when they continue to get punked and embarrassed by the Braves, who are came in 13 games back. Like, you watch these two teams play. Do you think the Mets look like they're 13 games better than the Braves?
No, no, definitely not. I don't.
Do you think they even look like they're definitively better than the Braves at all?
I don't. Not now.
Me neither. I don't. Like, they've been better throughout the course of the year. I still believe that they're better, but they have to actually show it. And I'm more concerned about what's looming. Like, forget about today with Holmes, although it's not forget about. They got to win this game, and I don't feel like they're going to. Strider's going to be nasty. Braves will be at their best, but whatever. Then you get the Phillies looming, and the Phillies maybe now sensing some blood in the water a little bit, looking to take back the control of that division. So the Mets need to prove themselves here, and I do believe legit reason to have concern that they may fall back to the pack and be a wild card team, you know, in the next week or so.
I say this, and I mean it, although I got to say it a little bit in jest here. Like, I'm actually curious how bad this could get for both of these teams. Like, it's turned into a morbid curiosity. And now, that's that. I get through that because I know that both teams are a lot better than this, and I believe both teams will absolutely be in the playoffs here. But I am very curious, like, how much longer are we going to watch these blunders? Like, if we just parachuted to Earth right now, I would think that Casey Stengel was managing the Mets and Choo-Choo Coleman was the catcher. And I would think that Mattingly's back had already betrayed him. And Alvaro Espinosa was playing shortstop. And Stumpp Merrill was the manager. It really is a nightly comedy of errors. Like, it's not like they lose 4-3 and it's kind of crisp and all right there. Yeah, you lost a tough game. That's baseball, Susan. By the way, that's the shirt that Sal's wearing. Yeah. That is a great shirt to wear today. I am curious, from almost from an entertainment perspective, how much worse this is going to get.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Dude, it's bad.
I'd like to see the Yankees put together a complete game for a change, catch the ball, throw the ball, run the bases.
Get a bunt down.
Oh, my God. How about that last night? I thought that was a stupid play. Not that we need to get into breaking down the entire game, but Grisham trying to bunt in front of Judge with first and second made no sense. Like, even, and I don't know if that's a Boone thing or what.
It was definitely Boone because Boone then said postgame he took the bunt off after the first strike.
I don't know what Boone's thinking there. That is asinine. When you know you have Judge on deck.
Yep.
If you bump them to second and third, what do you think's going to happen?
You're going to walk. Well, Ron Washington walks in when there's nobody on anyway.
Correct. So
you're going to put him on?
I thought he should have and might have walked him if it were first and second.
Now, they went
at him and Judge flat out, but still, like, so think about this. You're going to give up Grisham, and even by taking off, like, he still screwed up the at-bat a little bit. First and second, let him hit. What's the worst that could happen? He doesn't get it done. Judge is coming up. You got Bellinger following him. Like, take your chance with that. You're bunting and get a clear first base and then walk Judge for what? So Bellinger get a sack fly? Like, are we really getting that tight? That would be the alarming thing for me, too. Outside of the Yankees offense without Judge, it seems like they wilt under pressure, dude.
Well, I don't know if it's wilting under pressure or just really an inability to play a brand of baseball that certain teams can play better and are more comfortable playing when it's a late-game, high-leverage situation. There's a reason why the Yankees stink in extra innings. And listen, Boone even touched on this in the postgame. He said, yeah, listen, we are trying to do things that we're not very good at. I did appreciate his transparency. They're not good at bunts. I mean, even their middle infielders don't get bunts down. So,
but then just do what they're good at.
Well, yeah, I promise right now they're not good at anything. Yeah, but yes, what they are good at is generally hitting the ball out of the stadium, putting up a ton of runs. I had a mixed feeling about the Grisham trying to get down the bunt and then taking it off. So, I mean, it's a little weedsy. The bottom line is right, this. Both teams stink right now.
Yeah, exactly.
They stink.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to see it continue. I mean, morbid curiosity. Again, I want to see.
And I say that with a smile. Like, I am morbidly curious how much worse this thing's going to get.
I can't take another loss. But, like, there, if you ask me one thing, remember I was saying at the beginning of the year, the one thing I want to see was Soto go nuts. Well, there's one thing I can't stand, and that's losing to the Braves. They can lose 8 in a row. If it's not to the Braves, I'll accept it. The way that they have played against this Braves team under the circumstances where you had them buried.
Yep.
But real quick before we get back to the calls, just on the Grisham bunt thing. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you have an issue with it if you play it through?
Go ahead.
Knowing that.
Walking Judge.
Well, right. And then so like you're taking the bat. And if not, right, like the worst case would Grisham gets out It's first and second. You took your shot to drive him in. He didn't get it done.
Yeah, horrible swing. Too.
Okay, so now you're in a spot where either Judge hits with first and second, or he's going to walk Judge anyway and get those runners to second and third.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have what you would have accomplished by getting the bunt down anyway.
Yes and no. I mean, so let's say Grisham was first and second. Let's say he gets the bunt down and it's second and third.
Right.
And then you walk Judge.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my chances with the players behind Judge to just put the bat on ball and get a productive out. See, here's the thing. I also think that you've got to reshape the way this team plays. Not overhaul. Not this complete transformation. They don't have the players to do that. But I do believe that, I don't want to say it's an experimental phase because these games matter, but like the last 10 days, we've seen sequence after sequence starting in Boston where it's either a blunder on the bases, an inability to get a bunt down, or just things that you know are going to pop up at some point in October. You know it.
Yeah.
Whether it's the World Series, whether it's before that league championship, whether it's before that divisional, whether it's before that wild card if it comes to it. So I am a believer in putting yourself in certain situations so that when you do get there in October, it's not completely foreign. I get your pushback, by the way, from a baseball perspective. I totally do. But you know what, Sal? Bottom line is this. I don't think it matters what they do right now. Yeah. They are a mess, and so are the Mets.
Yeah, and then even Volpe fielding the ball like we talked about, and to me that was a pressurized thing. He's got a lot of errors, though, this year. What,
he's
nine
got nine,
errors
leads
now?
Baseball, and he laid back on that. Like, he just didn't. One of the things that Volpe does very well is attacking ground balls. Like, he goes and gets it. He doesn't let the ball play him. Last night he let the ball play him, and then he couldn't find the handle. And then what he does, he throws it basically into the outfield.
Yeah, the spectacular plays are great, but you got to make the routine
and
plays.
And he usually does, though. Now, this year he's booted some, but historically as a young shortstop, he's made, for my for my scale, enough of those plays. Like, I generally feel great when the ball's hit to him. But the one thing about bait, when everybody's hitting, everybody joins the party. When everybody's scuffling, it usually afflicts the whole team. And both of these teams are wearing it. Question is, when the hell does it end?
Hopefully tonight.
Can't watch this.
Today for the Yankees, tonight for the Mets. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody. Gio starts us off calling from New Brunswick. What's up, Gio?
How we doing, fellas?
Good.
Happy to be here, man. Love your show. I love the good cop, mad cop. Listen, this thing with Boone is just like, when are they going to start holding?
Oh, Jesus. Thank Gio. We appreciate the call.
That was about as aggressive as it gets. Hey, I understand where you're coming from, buddy, but tone it down. Trust me, if we could say that, we would have beat you to it. I kind of like the way that sounds.
Of all days, the first caller with that, you and I are like, be like, dude, what can we do? We can't rail on them anymore. We've already done that.
Yes.
Like, you got to find some kind of levity in it. And the first call out of the shit, dropping an F-bomb.
That was ire. I mean, that was legitimate heat right there. All right, come on. You can't say that. Although, well, we got to bounce you.
I don't know, though. Like, is it a lack of accountability from Boone?
Well, you mentioned Boone. Yeah. I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
I didn't love the post-game presser yesterday. Like, not acknowledging the Judge slump. Now, I get it. Judge is otherworldly. So his slumps are still better than he's in a slump. Like, that's not.
There's no question.
Yeah, that's not our opinions. That is a fact. And when you're striking out as much as he is in this slump, and then Boone goes out there and says, well, he hit a couple of balls hard. He walked a couple. Like, that to me doesn't do Boone any favors because it sounds like he's making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would then lead people to think, well, if he's doing that for Judge in this spot where we so obviously know it's a slump, which is okay, then what's he doing for Volpe? Or what's he doing for LeMahieu, who can't get a bunt down, or and so forth, so on, so forth. So I didn't love that answer from Boone last night about Judge, but I also don't think it's a lack of accountability. I think it's a lack of ability from a lot of his players. I don't like the construction of the roster. I never have.
Dude, I'm going back to this Kansas City series, and the Yankees obviously swept them. This is in succession, guys. Two strikeouts, one. 3-3-3. That was obvious to the rough Red Sox series. 0-3-2. No, he is absolutely out of sorts, and that happens. See, I weigh a response from a manager two ways. What's the worst it can do? Like, what's the negative repercussion if somebody's honest, whether it's Boone, Mendy, whomever, or Tom Thibodeau, whatever, or a football coach here? And what's the best case scenario? So we all know, first of all, there's no reason to, and there's no benefit. You're never going to light Aaron Judge up.
Right.
If you're, and I know you're not suggesting that. If you're a little more transparent and say, yeah, he's wearing it right now. He's human. He's not playing well. Like, even if you did that, what is the benefit versus the possible repercussion? I don't really see the benefit.
For me, it would just be that at least you're being honest about what's happening, and then the fans, now he maybe not doesn't care about this, that's fine, but the fans would be like, okay, well, he's acknowledging this, which would make me then believe in other stuff. Let's listen. You want to listen to it again?
Yeah, I watched it. I heard it, but I think, I don't know that everybody did. Let's go for it. Yeah,
Dove, go ahead. Play that from Aaron Boone last night when asked about Aaron Judge slump.
Aaron, I know you said that Judge just missed that one in the eighth, but just what have you seen in his at-bats the last week or so? This is really like his first prolonged slump of the year.
I mean, is it though? What's today? Wednesday? I mean, Monday night, he hit two rockets and had a couple walks. And he goes 0-for, and it's a slump. It's, you know, maybe he's missed a couple pitches. I mean, it's a hard game. It's, you know, like, I don't know if I really see it that way. Like, you're not, it's not going to get two hits every day and week on, week on. Like, it happens. So, he'll continue to make adjustments like he always does, like he's always doing when he's going really well, whether he hits a little rough patch, he'll continue to do that.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying you got to light Judge up, to your point. You have to acknowledge that he is in a slump. That was a very fair question laid out eloquently.
Very good question.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
and Boone knows that. That's a good question.
Yeah, and I understand where Boone is coming from, being like, come on, like, what are we talking about? Judge here, you know, next week, probably tomorrow, he's going to hit three homers. And nobody's saying that, oh, are you worried about Judge? But you have to acknowledge that he is in a funk where he's striking out a billion times.
And it's like 15 times in his last 20-something at bats.
And so my thing would be, okay, I don't need to hear him light it up, but acknowledge that.
Yep.
Because if you don't acknowledge what we all know is true in the moment, even though it doesn't mean much because it's Judge and it's going to come out of it, if you don't acknowledge that, then why would I take you seriously on some of the other stuff like, hey, what about Anthony Volpe's defense? And then it's like, wow, Volpe's great, and don't worry about it. It's one mistake. Like, it can't be like that all the time.
I agree, all right? I think there's maybe, I'm going to tell you how I would have handled it in a moment. But I also think one of the best things about Aaron Boone, and I've said this a while, is that he snuffs out fires. He snuffs out fires when they emerge, and I think he's also very good at preemptively snuffing something out before it starts. Now, in the world of clicks and hot takes and everybody's just, you know, piling on, you know, even if he were to be a little bit more transparent, would it do any good? And listen, I respect the contrary. The counter to that. I don't think that it's really necessarily worth it, but here's how I would answer it. All right, so I'm asked, I'm Aaron Boone, Aaron Judge. Hey, listen, you know, baseball's tough. I like that he said baseball's hard. Gosh, he's hitting almost 370. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then where I would go is I might pivot respectfully, but very clearly, hey, some of the other guys got to pick him up. Aaron was all world the first couple of months of this season. As we know, he's usually done as a Yankee. You know, it's time for some of the other guys to carry some of the mail. That's a way of putting some of the onus on the other guys and acknowledging, hey, Judge is having a rough stretch. There's eight other guys hitting. Wake the hell up.
And by the way, he went to the other guys, but he did get to the proper answer, I thought, toward the end of that. Like, just acknowledging, yeah, he's scuffling or whatever, which is fine. You want to call out some of the others? You could also say, what do you expect? He's going to hit 430?
Like, that's why I think his first response was almost like...
But he is in a...
Apoplectic, like, guys, He was hitting 390.
I know,
what do you expect?
But he has. But the strikeouts.
Oh, there's a ton.
Like it's been a rough go.
Man, yes.
Again, it's not a knock. You're not going to knock a guy who's hitting 370.
He's been invisible. He's been awful for 10 days. I don't dispute that.
I cannot take another loss to the Braves. I can't take another loss to the Braves.
Like, let's go Braves,
dude. I can't take it. I can't take it. Think about this: if the Mets get swept by the Braves. Right, they'd be 10 up on the Braves.
Yes.
Braves still what? 500, whatever it might be.
The Phils are one back now, I think. They won again last night.
Right now, one back. But let's just say the Mets get swept and then sweep the Phillies.
Yeah.
In theory, that would be great, right? Because the Mets buried the team that's really right there. No.
It's personal.
The Braves punked them. I can't take it anymore.
You guys have been hammered with injuries. Now, I'm not completely sold on all the guys who are nicked up. I mean, you look at it like Vientos, Winker's been banged up. I mean, now you've got 3, 4, 5 arms, not to mention Minter, who's been out the entire season. Guys have been hammered with the injuries.
Yeah, I know. Well, and then the rotation, like you said, I mean, and Montas, by the way, getting him back, you're thinking like, oh, yeah, all right, well, at least he'll be a stable arm. He's been getting lit up.
Oh, Montas?
I'll tell you this.
Yikes.
Wonder Boy, Boy Wonder, whatever you want to call him, David Stearns. He's going to come under the crosshairs in a little bit.
You're going to turn on him already?
No, I love David Stearns, but I hated the Montas. We both didn't like. Like, I don't think there's anybody in New York that understood the Montas signing.
Oy.
And the excuse early on was, all right, well, he's hurt. Nothing you could do about that. But he's been bringing in pitchers and making the most of them. Well, if Griffin Canning starts to peter out a little bit, and then Montas can't even get out to the minor leagues, and he can't be used right now, all of a sudden, the lab, the Boy Wonder with the pitching, like, hey, you got to figure this out. The Mets have done a great job. It can't be, well, in April and May and for the first week in June, everything's good, and then it crumbles down when you have a few injuries. Figure it out.
Now, here's the silver lining. And again, there's no hop. By the way, what is the Montas? It's a 2 years? That's the other part. It was 2 years, 16. Was a $32 million total, I think I remember.
17 per, but he's got the player option the next year.
So even more than they've gave Manaea the year before, because I believe Manaea had 2 years of 32. Not that you need to go chasing all these numbers. Either way, Montas, 2 years, $34 million. Right now, it just looks absolutely foolish. But he's done enough good things to get a little separation from a bad move or two. I just don't know how you roll Montas out there.
Right.
I mean, I know you got to make a decision. You're going to have to.
Exactly. The only reason is because they have nobody else. Hoff was just telling me, I guess, according to Mike Puma of the Post, Hageman is going to be the opener tomorrow. That's the other thing. So going into Philadelphia in that ballpark with an opener to start that series for first place in the NL East.
That's a tough way to start a series because you go opener, your bullpen is compromised for the entire series.
We saw this coming with the Senga. When the Senga injury happened, was that a week ago today? Thursday?
Last Wednesday.
That day I came in and told you on the air, I have never felt as good about being a Mets fan in my life than I do right now. Now, I still stand by that because it's more than just the results of this season. It was everything. Soto, Cohen, where they're at, the way that they were playing. Since then, Alonso makes that bad throw. Senga gets hurt. Luckily, they held on to win that game that they almost blew. And then they've been awful ever since. They haven't won a game, and everything's falling apart here. Like, there's got to be some kind of balance. You got to stop the bleeding here.
Well, what do you do? I mean, you know, I used the term slump buster yesterday. You know, I know what Crash Davis would do. He turned the sprinklers on and go out and get himself, you know what I mean? What do you do? You just play ball. You show up. And I know this is going to sound contrived and corny, but I actually mean this. You got to stick to your process, and you got to trust that they're good enough to wake up, because we all know that both teams better than this. But the silver lining, and I do have one for you.
Mm.
All right, I'm going to reiterate, because I said it yesterday as well. I'd rather this now, because this gives Cashman and this gives Stearns. Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A clear roadmap on what you need to fix.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what they need to
There's
fix.
There's going to be some urgency come trade deadline, if not before.
I hope so. And I'm being a little tweak here, like a little sixth inning arm or, you know, a little pinch hitter bat. I think both teams need a big move. Both teams, big move.
And I trust that the Yankees will do it. I'm not so sure.
Do you, though?
I do, because, well, I don't know if it's going to be the right one, but they Cashman always, even Jazz last year, like, that was a big move.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't love Jazz as a player.
Yeah.
I like his personality and those things.
Yeah.
I think he's similar to what they have, which is guys that are going to strike out in big spots, but also hit home runs. So, like, that's just, it drives me up a wall that the Yankees continue to bring in that same player. But it was a big move at the time. Now, how big is Cashman going to go? Who knows? How big do they need to go? We could discuss that in the coming weeks. I'm still unsure about what the Mets are going to do here. Are they going to go take on more salary? Are they going to make big moves? Does Stearns really want to do that? Is he going to stand pat and say, oh, we'll make minor moves? Like, they may need a bigger move to either shake things up or bring a big bat in here. Maybe they need an arm now all of a sudden.
Well, if the Giants were ahead of this and beat everybody to the punch for Devers, now this might be a bit of a foreshadow that this is going to be a very active trading deadline. And again, little tiny reinforcements that, you know, maybe don't get the shine when they happen, but they actually wind up paying some results down the road. Those are nice. But again, I'm talking a front line for me right now, because I think Manaea is going to be great when he comes back. A front line stick for the Mets and a front line stick for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yankees pitching. Hey, let's not get one thing twisted. While the Yankees can't hit themselves out of a wet paper bank at this point, their pitchers
terrific.
But what worries me is that eventually that's probably going to a little recalibration. And when the pitching takes a slight turn down, you need a more prolific offense, and they don't have it unless they get a big thumping bat.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steve is in New Hyde Park. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up, BT? How
Steve-o?
You doing?
Steve-o, what's happening, buddy?
BT, my question is for you, man.
Okay.
To be honest, I've seen enough from Anthony Volpe. I mean, yesterday he boots a routine double play. I mean, this guy was, again, first-round draft pick.
Yep.
I feel like his defense lately has been really shady. My question to you, do you think, should the Yankees consider trading Anthony Volpe down the, if not this year, maybe next year? Because, again, they have George Lombard Jr. Yep. in the minors.
Uh-huh.
Or do you think they should just try, maybe, I mean, look at his far-fetched trade. Volpe for Bo Bichette.
Listen, forget about specific players. Let me give you my actual general philosophy on Volpe, because I don't think anybody was happier. And, you know, this doesn't really matter to Sal. He said that himself. I love, like, a local story. Like when Mark Jackson was on the Knicks out of St. John's, Del Barton, Jersey. I just, that stuff means something to me. I love it. So nobody was happier when they drafted Volpe. And also nobody was as quick to say, I mean, this kid's ceiling is not nearly as high as others think. He's never going to be a horrible player, and he's never going to be a great player, all right? So I think what we see now, I think there's probably, I certainly hope and do believe, there's probably 10, 12, 15% more where he can get better. Ideally, you have Lombard at short, and you punt Volpe to second, where he profiles better because of his arm. But I'm also, to be fair to the conversation, if somebody calls me and they want Volpe and somebody else, and it's a massive, you know, platinum trade, I think you do it.
Yeah, I don't think he's untouchable, but here's why I wouldn't consider it. You're trading him at his worst.
At a low period, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the caller was saying maybe down the road.
In general,
if things...
And by the way, here we go again. Yeah, George Lombard. Okay. Just like Spencer Jones, right? And by the way, I must admit, I was wrong on Spencer Jones. I was wrong. I called him Spencer Jones Moss in reference to Kevin Moss, who actually did come up at the big league level and produce for an extended period. Spencer Jones, nowhere to be found. I'm not saying Lombard's going to be good or not. I have no idea.
Yeah.
What I will say is, let's not now get in the habit of kicking Volpe out for the next guy who you have no idea about. I think the Yankees mishandled Volpe from day one.
Yep.
I think they could have sent him back down that rookie year. I don't have a problem. You want to say, okay, we trust him. Win the job out of spring training. When he's struggling like that, you could have sent him back down. They didn't. And now they're living with a player who is... okay, would you say average? Sometimes below average, sometimes above average for a shortstop, I guess. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be a star, which is why I called him the other day a bust. I don't know why we haven't used that term yet. Now, you, BT, to your credit, You gave up on the high potential for him years ago.
I did.
I did not. I still believe that there was more there. And maybe more importantly than either of us is the Yankees organization believed he was going to be an all-star, big-time shortstop.
Yeah.
He has not been that. It's year three, and I don't see him getting definitively better.
Yeah.
You want to look at some of the numbers incrementally better?
Yeah. You can cherry pick and, you know, you can say, well, his first year he had 20 home runs, 20 plus home runs, 20 plus steals, gold glove. Last year, first real big moment, grand slam of the World Series, and I was there for that. That was a cool moment. But there's been too many fluctuations where it's not correlating to first round talent. And the expectations of what we all had for Volpe, and I'm sure the Yankees would agree with this off the record, all right, it has not been met. And I think the graver concern is that there's not enough visible evidence that that's going to actually change, all right? So you say you think the Yankees mishandled him, sending him down. I would not have sent him at that point, right?
Yeah. Either way.
Well, but he played so well in the spring. Remember, that was supposed to be Peraza's job. He hit like 470. He looked like a stud. So I think he earned the job like Jeter did when Fernandez got hurt in 96 here. So they were okay with that. And because he caught, especially his first year, caught the baseball so well, he was reliable for a young kid. So I don't think that they should have sent him down. I don't think that they messed that up. Where they have messed him up, they have not fixed this young man's approach. And I don't understand it for the life of me. How can we, who didn't take a swing in the majors or the minors, how can we sit on our couch and say, slider outside, get him that fastball upstairs, he's going to foul it back. He is so easy to pitch to. How can they not? His front shoulder flails out still. He's still jerking it to the third base dugout. I'm not trying to crush the kid. But these little basic things that have not been fixed by the Yankees, that reflects poorly on the Yankees, even maybe more than Volpe.
Casey is calling from Eastport, New York. What's up, Casey?
Hey, Case.
Hey, fellas. Thanks so much for taking the call.
You got it.
What's up, Case?
I want to talk about Volpe. I feel like a lot of people are going after him, asking for him to be traded, DFA'd. I think it's a little ridiculous. I think he's shown a lot of offensive upside this season, and we know that he's got that gold glove caliber defense in his bag. And I think it's really just like a mental approach thing. I think he needs some time in the cages with a hitting coach to really hone his craft.
You don't think he's doing that, Case? Hold on, bud. I'll let you finish. You don't think that they're doing that? He's got the most advanced, you know, analytical data points. I mean, this is all they do with it in the majors. Of course they're trying to fix a swing.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not working.
Well, I get that, but also you look at his offensive profile, and he's got a 105 OPS plus this season.
Okay,
he's on pace to double his home run total. For me, the main concern is his conviction and his deafness on the base pass. He's on pace to steal almost half as many bases as he did last season.
Yeah,
and he's getting caught a lot more.
Yes, he is. That's true.
Dude, but Casey, you just brought it up. Now, I do think, and thank you for the call, this should not be all about Anthony Volpe.
No, I'm with you on that.
I mean, this is way bigger, way
Bellinger,
bigger. Bellinger. Oh, my God, come on.
Jazz.
This is a whole team thing.
Wells.
Yeah. Hey, look at the lineup. This is a whole team. The construction of the team.
Center LeMayu, field.
All of it. This is not about Anthony Volpe. It's not the pick on Volpe. Even with me calling him a boss, like, that's just bringing reality, at least my reality, to the situation with Volpe relative to the expectations. Doesn't mean he can't be a serviceable player. And it also doesn't mean that it's his fault and he's got to go. You got to trade him. No, come on now. I do worry about his mental aspect of the game.
That's one thing I don't worry about with him. Well, I think he's wired the right way.
But then how do you excuse the error last night? That's a
funk. It's not a pass, it's not an excuse. You got to make that play. He laid back. He let the ball play
But
him.
You don't think it's him maybe putting too much pressure on himself or like feeling the heat, whether it's the media or fans or the team struggling?
Yeah.
Like, that's a routine play that a Gold Glove shortstop makes in his sleep.
You know, I think that that's all. And they asked Boone this. You know, we played some of the Boone cut from last night, the post game. They asked him this a lot last night, and they've asked him this a few times the last few games. And if he doesn't have an answer, I sure as hell don't, because I'm not a major league manager. They've tried to get to the bottom of, like, is the team pressing? Is it mental? Listen, I know we do this for a living, and, you know, we get some things right, we get some things wrong, you like some things we say, you don't, it's all good, it's part of the game, but the one thing that I can't do, and I really almost don't even try, unless it's like Mitchell Robinson at the free throw line, something like something, or Fultz from Washington a couple of years ago, where he's got this crooked, banged up jump shot because he's in his own head. How do we really delineate what's mental and what's physical? I don't even try.
Well, okay, but
I don't know.
I'm sure. Understood. I just feel like this team is pressing because they're better than what they've shown. And Volpe, in particular, you could almost see it on his face even after his at bats. He gets so frustrated. We talk about it with Alonso, similar, where sometimes where Alonso, especially last year, the last 2 years, when he's in that funk, he's got that beaten down look on his face, and it's almost a self-doubt thing. And with Volpe, a younger player who hasn't had the success he was expecting to have, hasn't had the success the fans and the organization were expecting him to have, and then you make an error like that, listen, like, that's not a physical thing. Anthony Volpe should make that play 100 times.
Guaranteed, did it 50,000 times at Del Bar and taking practice grounders.
So it makes me think that there's a little bit of just, instead of just reacting, you're thinking. You cannot think as an athlete.
I certainly think, and you're right, I'm happy you said that's not all about Volpe. I'm like, please, I mean, so many things wrong with this team right now. It's not him entirely. But it's like, you know, you get, I want to say the yips, but you get in your own head I'm talking about pros, on the green, you know, your three putt, your stroke's not feeling great, or you lose the strike zone. They're human. They are not impenetrable robots who are immune to outside sources and forces, both, really. So these guys, they do have some brain lapses, and it does get to them. That tightens them up. I think, though, the better example with Volpe was the night before when he rolled over an outside slider that was 7 inches off the plate, because to me, that is a microcosm of wearing it and maybe trying too hard, because it was almost like it was predetermined before he stepped foot in that box, he was jumping on something early. And generally, when you're not hitting well, you try to jump on something early because you have a fear, maybe not major leaguers, but a reluctance of getting in the hole. When you're rolling, you're like, slider, I'm not swinging at that. Give me something I can hit, you know? Whereas if you're a little jumpy and you know, 1 for 19, and you're like, I don't want to get in a hole 1-2. Let me just try to jump on something early. That's what I thought he did there. That, to me, was a visible sign of maybe pressing.
I think he's lacking confidence.
There's no doubt about it. He is, and I don't think he's alone right now, both the Yanks and the Mets.
And it's hard to have true confidence when you haven't had the ultimate success. And Volpe in 3 years has been way too up and down to really, like, I bet there's a part of himself that's still doubting. Like,
am I really great enough?
Yeah.
I think that's an outstanding point, because he doesn't have a database like Aaron Judge. Even Bellinger won an MVP.
Yeah.
Like, and
or Alonso, who we brought up before.
No doubt. Or Alonso, or Soto, or Lindor, or anybody that's a good, accomplished New York baseball player, even if they haven't won MVPs, but they've been on an all-star team, they've had big years, they know eventually they're going to get back there. But Volpe's never hit that height yet, so he's still chasing. He doesn't have that database of experience. Good point.
Runs aren't guaranteed, but you could have the free tickets. They give away the tickets. Hey, look, Yankees, you expect the bats to break out. It just would be something that the inconsistency of this offense is certainly situational. And I don't care what the numbers say. I was fighting with somebody about this yesterday. I don't know if it was Emmanuel Barbari or somebody was bringing it up, referencing their numbers and situational hitting. You just don't see it. They've been horrible in extra innings, to your point.
I think they're hitting 077 in extra innings. I remember hearing that somewhere.
How are they so bad?
I don't know.
A, you're the Yankees. B, you're getting a runner planted at second base. Like, to your point, even last night, first and second, nobody out.
Yep.
How can they not score? Like, as often as those situations present themselves for years with this team, just doesn't work. And do you think it's a coincidence or odd that, Like, if I had, if you and I talked about this yesterday, saying, hey, if you had a bet how their drought is going to end, their scoring drought, how would you think?
I would have said a couple of home runs.
Yeah, here. Like, of course, and that's what happens. They get two solo homers, and that's it, two hits.
Well, all right, so listen, the thing that I will say, a slight rebuttal, because there's, I don't love their situational hitting. I don't. But I also think because it's been an issue for the Yankees for years, that we have a tendency to fixate on the times that they fail and gloss over the times that they perform well. Because, and again, it seems like a hollow stat right now, but even with this offensive malaise, the Yankees do have the most runs in the American League. Now, I know the American League's not amazing, but you know, you can only deal the cards that you dealt here and play who you got to play. And up until this five-game swoon, the Yankees have been hitting the hell out of the baseball. And when you do that and you put up that amount of runs and have some of the other numbers, which I won't bore you with now, that are favorable, you are doing the job more times than maybe we say or feel they are with situational hitting. But the extra inning is a real thing. That, to me, is a microcosm of a potential bigger issue down the road that is not new for these Yankees.
Jeff is in the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? So listen, the problem with the Yankees has been a problem for years. They overhype their prospects. And then when these guys come up, we think we're getting Mickey Mantle and we get Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what we're doing.
Sorry, Jeff, you got a bad line there, but we got the point. I do think that that's what I talked about on Tuesday, BT, when you were out. Like, it wasn't just meant to focus on Volpe. It was more about the young players not living up to the expectations. And this has been a pattern here going back for years. And I don't know if it's because it's the Yankees, so the hype is more. Like, people go, oh, what about the Mets prospect? Yeah, the Mets never had these top prospects. Alvarez was one, Beatty another, and you've seen how that's panned out. But with the Yankees, it seems like every year there's two or three guys. It's like, oh, this guy's getting, here we go again. It was Spencer Jones. Now it's Lombard Jr. Like, they're always hyped, and they might, clearly there's an issue with the way that they're developing them, because they failed time and time again. Even look at Dominguez this year.
Mm-hmm.
Dominguez comes up. He bursts onto the scene when he makes the majors a year ago, whatever. Two years ago that Dominguez went nuts when he first came up?
Two years against the Astros.
Right,
yep,
so he came up 2 years ago and goes nuts. Obviously, last year was hurt, whatever it was.
Yep.
Okay, and then it was like, oh, this guy's going to be Mickey Mantle. And now he's, you know, it's not that he doesn't have potential to still be a good player, an impact player, but you're seeing the growing pains. We went through this before with Glaber, with Gary Sanchez, with endless other guys.
You said Glaber, right? Yeah, no, for sure. Clint Frazier. I mean, Clint Frazier was supposed to be like a linchpin in the middle of the order for years. The bat speed. I remember hearing, it's funny, we don't bring up Clint. We reference him, but I feel like we go more into detail on other prospects who don't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Frazier, I remember hearing one other name when they were talking about Clint Frazier, Gary Sheffield, and that was about bat speed. Everybody told us that he's got among the most elite bat speed they've ever seen. So, yeah,
Red,
that didn't
what
work.
What was it, Red Thunder or Red Lightning or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, all these nicknames, like the Martian.
There are a lot of nicknames, more nicknames than productions. Crazy. All right, but I do
the
have.
Kraken with Gary Sanchez.
All right, we get the point, buddy. You have to lay it on that thing. We know. I would say one thing, though. So I think there's two things why the Yankees prospects are not nearly as productive as we hope or think that they should be, or the Yankees hype them up to be,
right,
really. Number one, I don't think they develop them well. That is the fundamental flaw in the Yankees organization that I have said and pointed out for years. It bothers me. I don't know the origin of it. Is it as low as instructional? I don't know. So I can't directly point fingers, but I can say with great confidence that the Yankees organization, I'm not talking about pitchers, position.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Players They just don't develop players well, number one. Number two, and this is not an excuse, but it is some contextualization, because the Yankees are always good, the Yankees never have access to a Witt or a Gunnar Henderson or just even Mike Trout was in the 20s, actually. That's not a good example. Same with Judge. But they just don't draft that kid. One, two, three. I mean, Jeter was six, remember, years ago, because the Yankees stunk. You know, eight, seven, five. They don't really, and those are more, I won't say guarantees, because baseball is the biggest crapshoot out there. They have a tendency to go more for high school kids in the 20s, and that's a massive leap.
That's fair.
Or college kids who are in the 20s.
That's fair, but they traded, and I don't know where Torres and Frazier were selected, but those were guys that they traded for.
Correct.
That were top prospects. I'm pretty sure Gleyber was a very top
He was. No, Cubbies, and then Flint Frazier as well. Yeah.
Right, so my point is that even those guys, and remember, that's what made it so special. The Yankees, a rare losing year in 2016. Mm. They go out there, rightfully so, being aggressive at the trade deadline, getting those type of prospects in, rebuilding this thing the right way. 2017 wasn't supposed to be a good year. Judge takes off. They go to ALCS Game 7, and the rest is history. But those guys never developed the way that they were supposed to either.
No.
And from 2017 on to date, the Baby Bombers, this new version of it, none of them outside of Judge have lived up to the hype.
Not even close. And I know we got a break here. But the other thing, too, is, and this is excuses out the window. For years, it was like, well, they don't get a chance to play through mistakes. Remember that? Because the Yankees were so star-laden. You know, maybe you run out there, Ricky Leday, Ruben Rivera. Yeah. I'm just throwing names in the past. You know, who knows? It's 100% applicable, but I think it is. And they'd get a shot and have a rough week, back to the bench, back to the minors. This goes back to Bobby Meacham with George Steinbrenner back in the 80s. And they never got any runway to let their natural talents shine. They're playing now. To give the Yankees credit, which I will, they are playing them. Dominguez is not against all, against all lefties.
Nobody's
still
playing.
He's playing all the time. Volpe's running out there. They're running these young kids out there. And, obviously Austin Wells plays all the time. Peraza's gotten a decent look. You know, Cabrera's got a decent look before he got hurt. And they're still not really popping through.
Not a pop 80s
guy. You're more like Def Leppard 80s,
like synthesizer stuff.
Okay, I got you. This is just a corn fest.
This is happy-go-lucky music.
Wake me up before I go.
Damn right.
Okay, now
wake me up
because I'm not going solo.
The only thing I didn't understand was the second go. Like, wake me up before I go makes sense. Before I go.
Well, yeah. It's one of the reasons why it doesn't work.
It's not wake me up before I go, girl.
It's an artistic, interpretation.
No, I told Op before the show. I requested one thing. I said, I want Heavy D.
Now that we found love?
Yeah, no.
There we go. Come on.
I said, got nothing but love for you. So I was like, I want uplifting.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a little more like hard rock, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
So I want a little Heavy D, got nothing but love for you. And then he goes, what about George Michael? Is that a little? I was like, no, I'm fine with that.
I mean, honestly, he was right there with like Madonna. I mean, a couple below, like Madonna, Michael Jackson, The Police, like 80s staple. No disrespect. I just hate the song.
That one. Okay. What was some of his other hits?
Careless Whisper. No, he had a couple good love songs. Which one?
Freedom.
Yeah, that song's terrible.
I don't know if I like
Freedom.
That one.
Freedom.
Yeah.
I won't let you. Ugh.
No. What's the best one? That one?
Faith.
Oh, yeah. That's
great. Gotta have faith.
Come on. And then the Limp Bizkit remix.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you like music at all? I can't tell.
I like corny music. I like my music, not your music.
That is corny music.
Yeah, but that's...
This is like too cool. Listen, you know it's really corny when BT hates it.
That's true. I'm a certified cornball. I admit it. I own it. I wear it. I'll take it. Just not that song.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the State of New York Baseball. It's crazy to me. It'd be bad enough if you had one of these teams struggling right now.
No, that would be great.
Yeah, well,
if it was a team that usually struggles.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I'm not going to lie. What? Honestly, on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah. This had to be the day, right?
Well, Yanks getting shut out again.
I know.
Did get shut out. Mets had the 4-1 lead. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, especially after you just harpooned the Yankees for 4 hours when I was off.
And that, right.
It was like on a tee for you the next day.
Oh, man. I couldn't wait to come in. As a matter of fact, I was getting texts from listeners of the show, friends, but like, listen, I can't wait for 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah. How did it work out for you?
And then the Mets obviously blow that lead, and that was with both teams. But isn't it bizarre that both these teams, the parallels, dude, all year long. Yanks, Mets, way up. And then all of a sudden, they both hit their three-game losing streak, same, or get swept for the first time together. 4-game losing streak, 5-game losing streak. Now Yankees 6-game losing streak, but the Mets 5-game together. Like, what is going on here?
Well, again, yeah, no, that's undeniable. It has been a very similar path that they both plotted out so far here. But I think we all know when we put on our rational hat, which even you and I are capable of doing once in a while.
Yes.
I think we both know that this is temporary. This is not the real Yanks, and this is not the real Mets.
Right.
Now, a little cautionary flair. I don't know that the great start by either team was necessarily the real Yankees or the real Mets either. They're definitely not this bad, but maybe they really weren't that good.
All right, here's the way that I would put it. I think the Yankees' concerns are legitimate relative to being a World Series winning team.
I would agree.
I think the Mets' concerns are legitimate relative to being the premier team in their division. Like, the Mets are not, we talked about this earlier, but just to repeat it, the Yankees have nothing to prove in the regular season. It doesn't mean that they might not be in a dogfight for the AL East or whatever, but the Yankees are going to the postseason. They go every single year. We hold them to the World Series standard. So when I look at them and I'm saying, grading them on a World Series curve.
Mm-hmm.
With the Mets, it's not like that. Now, obviously that they should be in the mix to win a World Series with the money that they spent bringing in Juan Soto, sure. But before they get to that level, they've got to show that they could put away the Braves, for goodness sake, a team that came into this series 13 games back of them. So I think the Mets' concerns, we know they're going to be a playoff team, so it's not like, oh, the Mets stink all of a sudden. They're going to be under 500. I'm not going to go that nuts with this team. I still think they're a very good team. But I think their concerns are real as far as it pertains to being the premier team in the National League East.
I think this is a good day to do it. Every once in a while, I like to go to a model here on projections, incorporating what's happened, what will happen, who you play, who you've already played, strength of schedule. Right now, you want to start with the Yanks or the Mets. Projected wins and projected percentage division title.
Okay, both. Yanks.
Yankees. Give me, well, I want you to guess. What projected amount of wins right now Yankees would be?
93.
Low. 96.2.
Okay.
Okay. That strikes me as the tick high, to be quite, you know, I think it'd be more 94 if I was betting, but 96.2, okay.
And now remember, their number, I think, coming in the year was like 88 or something.
Yes, well, because that was part of our over-unders there. Yeah, it was definitely below 90, you're right. Projected percentage of divisional supremacy for the Yankees would be what percent?
I'm bad at this. I would probably go, I would go like in the 70s. Oh, let's go 76%.
Actually, a really good guess. Right now, the Yankees are 80%.
Okay, I was going to go higher, but I don't know how they do it. Okay, fair
80%.
Enough.
Well, you got to figure, if you're presumed to win 96 games, it's going to be high. But good job with most of that. All right, let's get to the Mets here. Projected amount of wins for the Metsies right now. Going into a very important game against those Bravos.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Now, remember, the Mets number was higher coming
in. Yes, it was. What was the number, 91 or 92?
Yeah, I think it was around that. I'm going to go right around. I'm going to go 91 wins.
Low, 93.2.
Okay.
What do you think their percentage of divisional supremacy is right now?
Okay, so the only like heads up I have on this is yesterday somebody was telling me the Mets were, now this is yesterday before the game, they were like still minus 190 to win the division.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my feel on it. I don't know how you could say it's more than 50%
right
now.
It's not. So good instincts here. Yeah. Keep going. So give me a number.
Yeah. I would go, to win the division.
Division winners.
40%?
48.3.
Oh, that's higher than I thought. The Phillies are one game back, and they're the Phillies.
And the Phillies are higher at 49.6, and the Braves, 2.3%.
I mean, the Braves are.
Yeah, no, Braves are in trouble. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Braves gotta get hot for a while.
They're getting healthier. Their run differential, by the way, plus 18. So that would be indicative of they're not as bad as their record says that they are. Plus they're getting healthier. But I mean, they're 11 games back and they're still 6 games under 500.
There's a lot of baseball to go.
Right. But here's the thing. They play the Mets, who they own, you know, another 5 times here over the next week or so.
Good time to play him if the Mets don't get turned around soon.
Well, right. So what if the Mets go 2-8 over the stretch against the Braves and Phillies? All of a sudden, dude, it's going to feel totally different next week.
So interesting. Just a little side thing. Not that you're saying you think they're going to go 2-8, but, and maybe this is an interesting element of the Yankee-Met fan dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, they're capable of it the way they're playing. It doesn't even enter my mind that the Yankees might win 2 of the next 10.
Right, you expect them to win.
I don't know if I expect them to win 8 of 10. I don't know, because they don't look great, right? They are pretty much a one-man machine with Judge right now. But, like, 2-8 to me seems, even the way they've looked, which is awful, unfathomable. you allow that to creep into the mindset a little bit here.
They've already lost the first two. They've got an opener going Friday. They're facing Strider tonight. Coming into the series, I said this. I am not afraid of the Braves, which was bucking that Mets fandom fear. Like, oh, the impending doom that Evan and others had. Like, oh, I don't know, the Braves. Nope.
Yeah,
Braves
Evan always has that.
The Braves. Dude, if you can't, if you're scared of the Braves when they're 13 games back and 8 games under 500, I mean, what are we doing here?
That's a good
and
point.
Yet you see it play out the way that it did. I never felt it once in that game until there was bases loaded when, you know, right before Ozuna, of course, hit the bases clearing double. But now, I think when you look at what the Mets taking on water, all the injuries, where they're at, the opener going into Philadelphia, what's happened in this series so far, like, all right, if the Mets win tonight, that calms everything down. A single win tonight, salvage this game, don't get swept. Stop me if you've heard that before. All they have to do is win a game in Atlanta.
Yeah, I've heard that many years.
Right, so salvage this final one. Okay, deep breath. Now maybe they go take two out of three from Philly and all as well. Come back home against Atlanta.
All systems go, season stabilized.
You're good to go. Like, yeah. I could see a realistic path to where they go 5-3 over the next 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose tonight, opener tomorrow, you could easily see that they lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies and then come back home and you're still hoping for a split, and then you'd be 3-7 over that 10-game stretch against this team.
I would be very interested. And again, I don't know that it'll get to this point, and I don't hope that it does. Let's say they lose today.
Yeah.
Let's say they lose 2 of 3
in Philly.
Philly. Now you come home, right, and that's what you mapped out.
Right, you'd be 1-5 in the first 6 games.
Now, and then, because the Yankees heard some boos the other night,
right,
and rightfully so, I wonder, and the Met fans have responded to Cohen's, you know, hey, plea or demand or edict, whatever, hey, show up. Yeah, I'm giving you everything you want. Show up, and they have been 35,000 strong for the most part. Mets attendance has been great. If that first game back at home off a 1-5 stumble is sloppy, do you hear some murmurs, some groans, some disenchantment? I'm not saying they turn on them, but
no, I think
would it echo what's been going on at the Bronx here in some booths?
I think out of the gate, you'd hear the encouragement the first game back and maybe try to uplift this team. But, I mean, I think if guys don't start getting the job done, then, yeah, maybe you are going to hear some. And plus, it's the Phillies. You'd be coming off of 1-5 Braves and Phillies, and then you have the Braves in town. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. Hey, tonight's it is a big, big regular season game for the Mets in this huge stretch of NL East opponents. BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the phones here. Mario's in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on? Good call, guys, as always.
How are you? What's up?
Yeah, good. Just a little bit, very interesting. I'm feeling 2 points I got to make, and then I'll listen to your response. First of all, I'm feeling a little bit good about the Yankees because of the turnaround in the pitching. So I think they're not going to pitch maybe as good as they are now, but they're pitching a lot better, and we know they're going to hit. That's going to happen. And then the second thing is, what's flying under the radar is Giancarlo Stanton coming back 4 for 8.
Yeah, you know, and 2 of those hits were, you know, kind of off the end of the bat, you know, up the middle right field, and hey, better than nothing, so I'm not going to give him back. But
exactly.
It's good to have Stanton back, but let's see if he stays on the field healthy.
Yeah, but so far, so good.
Yeah.
You figured he was going to look terrible in the beginning, and he hasn't.
I agree.
You know, what made you think he was going to look terrible? He came back healthy. Like, he's been Giancarlo Stanton. It hasn't helped the offense,
yeah, but
unfortunately.
It takes a while. You haven't played for a while. You figure it's going to take a while to get back into the swing of things, right? So that's a good thing. Second thing is, when I look at Wells and Volpe, I think we're a little hard on Volpe. You know, he's the number 20th pick. He's not a star, but he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he's projected 18 homers and 80 RBIs. That's like second or third in the American League and for second baseman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for shortstop.
Yeah.
Secondly.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Mario. Mario, it's deeper than that, right? Again, you know, whether he's 21st or 10th or first-round pick, dude. First of all, he's first-round pick. And
yeah,
I know,
but still number 20. It's not that high.
It's the first round, though, is my point. You know, there's 50 rounds after it. So he was expected to be pretty much a star. And maybe he gets there. I don't think he does, but we'll see. But the real thing is, I'm looking. I think that there's an assumption, thanks for the call, Sal, that, like, the shortstop position is weak around baseball. I'm looking at some of these numbers. Well, top heavy, right? You know, with the big names, with Whit, Gunnar, Henderson. Jacob Wilson for the A's is hitting .359. Brendan Donovan for St. Louis hitting .323. Pena, who's been a little up and down, postseason hero a couple of years ago for the Astros, won the MVP, hitting .321. Garcia for the Royals hitting .318. You know, Trey Turner, he is a star usually, hitting over .300. And then you've got 3 or 4 guys in the .290s. Like, Anthony Volpe right now has the... I'm about like the 25th best average for shortstops.
You want to know what's insane? And I shouldn't even bring this up because I'm sure a lot of people missed it. And if they did hear it at the time, they forgot about this. But about a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, early last season, Volpe was on his absolute tear. And Lindor was in his early season funk.
Yep.
To a point where some were questioning, you know, whether you should hit from the No. So listen to how insane this is what I said. I remember having this debate. I don't know about with you. We probably brought this up on the air, but on Baseball Night New York for sure.
Yep.
We were going over which shortstop would you rather have.
Yeah, that and came up on. I still get clapped at with on social media, so it came up here somewhere.
And I was like, what are you kidding me? Like, Volpe. Like, at that time where Volpe. Remember, the way he started so hot, or at least I thought that was going to be the beginning of the ascension to superstardom. Like, that's how hot he started. And you're factoring in Lindor's money and the other slow start, and he didn't take off to the MVP type year. Now that sounds completely asinine. You wouldn't know what you're talking about if you even said that. So I got that one completely wrong, but it just shows you where at least I thought, and I know I wasn't alone, of what Volpe could be versus where he's gone in even just a short year. Like, think about.
I got that wrong too. I mean, no surprise when I'm saying he should abandon one side of the plate to hit. So I mean, obviously, I got everything wrong with Lindor.
It was twofold. And even though I thought Lindor was good, how could you not want the potential and young?
Yeah. Well, because I hadn't seen that. And this is old story stuff, but I hadn't seen the Cleveland production yet. Then I factored in not that he was old, but you know, trending toward 30s. Then the money, and then Volpe's age, and Volpe's early ascension, and then projected ascension. It was actually pretty easy to get that wrong at that point.
Yeah,
we both did.
But it's just insane. And now you wouldn't even entertain the thought.
No, but I will say Lindor's been cold.
Yeah.
The conversation. It's Lindor all night. But last 31?
He's a big part of the problem right now.
He is. Yeah. I mean, Alonso's taking heat. Soto's taking some heat with certain aspects. The other night, the blunder on the bases, whatever. Lindor is hitting .220 over his last 31 games with an OPS in the high 600s. This is not to just destroy Lindor.
Did you see his comments after the game?
I did. I love what he said.
Me too.
He said, you're talking about specifically the leadoff hitter?
Yeah, hard to win games with leadoff hitters not getting on base.
He has always been a leader. That's why he's the de facto captain. He's done that many times, stands in his locker like a big boy. And that's why I had a little bit of a gripe with Soto the other day when at the same spot in front of his stall, he's saying it's the umpire's fault for not getting his fist up in the air quick enough, saying it was out.
Yeah, and now Lindor just actually has to get on
base. Yeah, he will. He'll wake up.
Alex is in Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Al.
Hey, BT Sal. Thanks for taking the call, guys. Not to really continue to harp on Volpe. Like, want to preface that, obviously, it's the whole lineup is kind of falling apart. But I think we have to realize, too, we have a 24-year-old shortstop who has World Series experience. And I want to see what you guys take is why are the Yankees so opposed to, say, sending him down to AAA for a little bit?
Who's better?
Not even better, but he's got 5 walks in 30 games. It's like we can clearly see the approach is messed up, so it's not necessarily better. It's like, hey, let's get this guy going right. He's got some depth, and there was a guy, again, not to compare the ceilings, but Alex Rodriguez at one point got sent down to AAA to get him right. So I just want to see what you guys think of why the Yankees are so opposed to doing that.
Well, because I think it's a good question. I think that there's enough evidence, and I wouldn't vehemently disagree with this as much as I'm disappointed in how he's looked so far outside of last night. And I know he does lead the shortstops with 9 errors, but usually you send down a player when he's just unreliable, mechanically broken. Now, I don't like his mechanics. I don't know that he's broken, or he's just lazy, bad attitude, and he's just a mess and he's swimming, which obviously he has an amazing attitude, terrific young man. I mean, he's still a good defensive shortstop with wheels and with some sneaky opposite field power. And they justify in their minds, all right, I probably agree with this because I don't know who else will play shortstop. In their minds, they justify we can tweak what we need to tweak in real time rather than banishing him to the minors. Now, maybe that time was a year or two ago. I don't think that time is now.
I think they've missed the boat on that. Now, they might have then sacrificed because of all the reasons you said. Not wanting to send him down. Okay, we could fix this. We could tweak that or whatever. Let him learn here. And when you do that, the trade-off is risking having a mediocre player as opposed to let's send him down, get him reset, get him back to the level we expect, and then have him come up and flourish here at the big league level. The other thing is I think his biggest issue is his lack of confidence. If you send him down, now I don't know this, but there's the risk that you're running. You send him down, you could potentially destroy him if he's lacking confidence already.
Yeah.
A guy who's been here for 3 years, played in the World Series a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to send him down now? What's that going to do to his confidence? Some people could respond well.
Yeah.
Some people might go the other way. I don't know, but there's a chance that you could potentially ruin him if you did that.
I mean, there's always a chance. I think it would have more of a pot. Now, again, they're not doing it, but it would not break him. I think his best asset is his temperament and his character and his makeup. Because think about this, guys. When he made the team, you know, Peraz was supposed to be the starting shortstop, and he played amazing. Now, yeah, it's spring, and you're seeing primarily fastballs and guys who aren't going to be in the majors right away, blah, blah, blah. But he hit the hell out of it, and he looked like a dynamic athlete running. And then when he played his first year, 20-plus bombs, 20-plus steals, gold glove, even if he wasn't Ozzie Smith, he still won the gold glove.
And a lot to build from there.
Correct. So, like, I think I wish there was more Jeter in terms of hitting in him. I do think that there's a little bit of Jeter in his makeup.
I know, but you can't say that when he's butchering plays in the World Series and in a big spot. Like, last night against the Angels, not really a big spot. But in that moment, it was.
Yeah.
Team struggling, yeah, guys on base. Like,
you got to make the play.
He is,
no excuses.
The Jeter
for that
comparison should be out the window, because Jeter handled the moment better than anybody, and Volpe's been the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, again, just to be clear, it's the loosest possible Jeter comparison. Now, I do see him show, and I don't mind this, he shows a little more visible frustration than, I mean, Derek never did, but I've seen Volpe spike his bat once in a while, spike his helmet. You can see he's wearing it. You want to tell me he needs a mental reset? Sit him down a day. Doesn't right have to start every game.
Yeah, I think we're beyond the point of sending him down.
Captain Lou,
yeah,
is a proud Stepanak grad.
That's right.
Captain Lou is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain Lou Albano.
Catholic high school.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Me neither. What did he play? Did he wrestle? Did he actually, was on the
that
wrestling team?
I don't
team
know.
He had to play football. I think I read that he did play football, but I did not know he was a Stepanak. What's the nickname again? I'm forgetting. Crusaders.
Crusaders.
There you go.
What's the deal with the rubber bands on his face, you think?
He's original. He's got style. He's unique.
It's weird, though, right?
You think?
Yeah.
I mean,
I used to love Captain Lou. I liked him in the when he played Mario. And we've talked about this, I think, before in the TV show Mario Brothers.
I don't remember him doing that. I don't remember us ever talking about that. He was in...
I might have brought it up before. It was probably you were too older. You were old enough, too old for it. I was just young enough. It was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
They turned, you know, the Super Mario Brothers Nintendo game.
Yeah, I love the game.
Yeah,
sure.
They turned that into a TV show, and he was a... Hoff, if you could look up the intro to that. I know. Yeah,
are you serious?
Oh, dude, yeah. He was in... there was somebody that played Luigi. I have no idea who it was.
Yeah.
But Captain Lou played Mario, and they came out. They had this intro song and dance to it, and then I think it would warp into a cartoon.
Okay.
Of the Mario Brothers show.
Did he have the rubber bands as Mario?
That's a good question. I don't
recall think that he
that
did. By the way, I was
it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Hold on, we got
it. Yeah, hang on one second. I was informed that he was a track and field star and the captain of the football team.
Others who get all the fame. If you're sick, it's in trouble. You can call us on the double. We're faster than the others. You'll be hooked on the brothers.
Hooked on the brothers.
You got to watch the video.
I'm sure,
but Captain,
you got to love
it, though. I used to love that song.
You got to love how at some point, probably late 80s, early 90s, everything morphed into like a corny rap.
Yeah, right.
Everything.
Yeah, that is true, too. It's amazing what they did, all the spinoffs and taking video games and the TV shows. Like, who would think that would work?
Is that the most popular video game of all time? Super Mario Brothers?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like,
I'm
if
not.
If you ask me,
yeah,
it's certainly one of them.
Like Donkey Kong, yeah, Space
right
Invaders, you
yeah,
know,
right,
those like those.
Hours. But then,
yeah,
but then now, like with what, like Halo,
well, Fortnite,
yeah, exactly.
It's still big, I guess.
Yeah,
all right.
Now we've been talking about Volpe all day. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Get back to your calls. Both the Yankees and Mets struggling here. What the hell's going on with our baseball teams? But I want to have to go back and look at our interview last year. We had Cashman on last summer. It was a little less than a year ago. I think we were filling in for Evan Antiki. We had him on.
It was July, late July.
Late July.
Right before the deadline.
Okay, right before the trade deadline, so even better. But I remembered asking Cashman about Volpe specifically and his inconsistency. So let's listen back to this clip from last time we had Brian Cashman on the show. Go ahead, Al. And why do you think Anthony Volpe has been so inconsistent? I was saying he's on the verge of superstardom to start this year. You can clearly see the potential in him as a ball player. It's now been a year plus with Volpe where he's shown some ups and downs. Why has he been so inconsistent?
Hey, the young player finding his way in the major leagues. I mean, he had probably less than 50 games at AAA when he earned the right to be our everyday shortstop, and so he wasn't a finished product, and you know, so you know, I agree with you. I think he's capable of a lot. I think he's providing a lot. And I think that there's a lot more upside there on the bat than he has been able to show consistently. But obviously you're seeing, you know, a closer version probably of what he is right now in the most recent few weeks, especially since the All-Star break. Listen, this is a hard game. And even though you have, as you know, even though you have all the credentials and the ability, as a young player, unlocking them and tapping them into them as a consistent guy, you know, it becomes more and more difficult. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a pitcher or a hitter. You've seen that, you know, that story told time and time again, and sometimes it takes longer than we all would want. Look at Austin Wells, for instance. You know, Austin Wells is now, like, earning the right to be considered to hit in the middle of our lineup, you know, with a team that's, you know, one of the higher runs and scoring programs in the MLB. And earlier in the year, you know, he was struggling. And last year when he got called up, it was a struggle. And he's an offensive profile bat ahead of his defense, per se. He worked his tail off on the defense. But yep, this guy's starting to really swing the bat on a consistent basis and give us comfort. So it just takes time. You know, it's a hard game.
Yeah, okay. First of all, I hate the excuse it's a hard game.
Yeah, that bothers you.
Because it's a hard game for everybody. We're not comparing Anthony Volpe to, you know, Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. We're comparing him to his peers in the big leagues. It's a hard game. We're not comparing him to minor leaguers or little leaguers. Oh, it's a hard game. No crap. That's why you're getting paid millions of dollars. It's Major League Baseball. Oh, baseball's hard. Oh, really? Well, that's what makes you so special. So how come the other guys who it's also hard for are doing better than your guys? That's the issue. Now, I do think it's interesting, BT, that was about a year ago. Here we are a year later.
Yep.
Also with Austin Wells, you want to throw him into the mix.
I was going to say that, yeah. Yeah, here we are. But it's hard. Baseball's hard.
Okay, the main thing that I took from that, development. Less than 50 games at AAA. Also, at that point, he's saying, well, he's been up here a year and a half. So, and Volpe must have been in whatever kind of a hot streak there, because Cashman was saying this is more what we expect him to be. Since then, fast forward a full year, he has not been that. So now it's not a year and a half. Now it's 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, at what point is he going to be what you expect him to be? And I could give you the endless examples, Cash, of all the other guys before that you haven't developed properly. So I think it comes down to 50 games or less than 50 games in AAA. They brought him up too soon, never put him back, and now they're just learning to live with him and trying to have him learn and grow at the major league level.
Listen, most of the thoughts from Yankee fans, unless you're, you know, like really old enough to have seen Mantle, most of the thoughts that now impact and shape opinions today go back to the dynasty. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, we haven't done this since, and we developed the core four back then. Well, I will say that when the Yankees called up Bernie Williams, you know, Bernie's first year he hit .238, that second year he hit .280, then he hit .268 back in year three. It took him a while to get going. Now, Bernie was more raw. Bernie just hadn't played as much baseball.
Do you have any of his other numbers, like power numbers?
I do. I got it all. So Bernie,
I'd be curious. Give me, like, second year, because 280 is not bad for a second year.
Second year played how many games
here? Like, could you see the climb, basically?
I'll give you his first full season, which was year three, because he played 85 games, then 62, then 139. Right. So year three, basically played every game. He had 12 home runs, 68 RBIs, 9 steals, caught 9 times, 106 strikeouts.
In his first full season?
His first full.
Yeah, not a good season.
No, I remember this. Yeah. I remember Mel Hall used to terrorize him and Mattingly made him stop. Like, he was just in a rough spot. They made fun of him. He was an introvert. Bernie had a rough go. And let's see. His OPS was 734, which, by the way, you know, it was higher than Volpe's last year, although this year Volpe's is higher. And he hit .268 with an on-base percentage of .333. Well, the next year, now we get to the 94, the strike, so a condensed season. Hit .289, 12 home runs,
right,
57 ribbies, 108 games, probably would have hit
so you could see 17
or 18. You could definitely see the uptick, and then .307, .305, and then he's burning.
Okay, so you could see the climb.
Yeah.
This is year three. Like, all right, last year he didn't get it done even after the hot start, Volpe. This year was supposed to be okay. Really, this is the year where he puts it all together. And maybe next year, sure, but now you're talking about 3 years will be in the books. Why, after three full seasons, would I believe season four is going to be the year where it finally kicks in for Volpe?
No, I'm not saying that you should. I mean, again, I share a lot of the same concerns that you and others do about Volpe. Now, there's been some wacky suggestions. Trade him. One guy said DFA him. I mean, what are we doing? What hallucinogens are you popping in this morning? Stop. Get rid of him. Cut him. That's the dumbest thing I've heard. But even when Paul O'Neill came here, and Paul, of course, was at the Reds, Paul was a platoon player. Paul did not really face lefties too often. And when they made the trade for Roberto Kelly, another young player, another prospect, that actually had more success, really, than Bernie did. I just gave you Bernie's numbers. I won't hit you with Roberto's, but just trust me. You just don't know. I'm less concerned about Volpe's numbers, and I'm more concerned about his approach. That's what at the plate.
I would be more concerned about the Yankees' inability to develop their younger players consistently.
And that's a bigger picture item, and I don't disagree with you.
Raj is calling from New Providence, New Jersey. What's up, Raj?
Yo, BT and Sal, great show today, and happy Juneteenth.
You too, Raj.
Thank you. So check it. I'm an Astros fan, and I know we caught the Yankees, so to speak, last night. I don't think it'll last, only because we're pretty banged up and we're playing in an easier division. But anyway, I think, you know, I look at the American League this year. I mean, Detroit looks really good, and the thing is that they have a farm system that they have a lot of trade chips they can use to get some of these big names at the deadline. I don't see either us or Tampa making a big deal just because it's just not our style. So what do you think about the Yankees' aggressiveness this year? I mean, do you think they'll pull a George Steinbrenner, deal off a guy like Spencer Jones, maybe some of the young guys on the roster now to get some of the big names that could be available in the fire sale? What do you guys think?
Do it. You got to do it. I mean, you do it. You do what you have to do to put Aaron Judge in the best possible position to get to another one and eventually win a World Series.
Lombard?
That's the one thing I wouldn't. That's the one guy that I wouldn't get rid of. He just looks a little different. Forget about the numbers. Watching him in the spring, he got a lot of run. He played a lot.
We said the same thing about Spencer Jones a year ago.
That's true. That's true. That was said. I remember the thing about Spencer Jones a year ago was that he went, what was the amount? I don't know that it was the entire spring, but there was one point for a good chunk of the spring where Spencer Jones hadn't swung and missed at a pitch, which was the worry on him. You know, not enough contact. Like 35 or 4, somebody could look this up, but if you know what I'm saying, you know. It was something about his ability to make contact and not strike out him and just put the bat on the ball, which people didn't know if he could do. And if he could do that, well, now his prodigious power, his blazing speed, his rocket front arm, well, now that's more in play if he's actually putting the ball in play rather than within. Well, go look at what he's doing in the minors now. He's striking out a ton again.
Now it has to be the right piece. It can't be one of these unsure things or an inconsistent player. If there were a home run, like for me years ago with Luis Castillo, where I thought the Yankees definitively needed a top-end starter to go on in the postseason and try to win a World Series, I would have given up Anthony Volpe to get that.
I didn't want to do it because it was too early.
Understood, but I'm
too
just
early.
Saying
like, I know.
Those are the type of moves. So, hey, sometimes they come back to bite you. I'm also more so for giving up the prospect. I even said the same thing with the Mets getting Javi Baez. Now, would I do that now? No. That I told you, it's one thing that bothers me about the baseball season with Pete Cor Armstrong, who's been the MVP of the National League, arguably the MVP of the National League.
Imagine, he's the favorite right now.
Imagine him being in center field, no less. The Mets need a center fielder. He's a center fielder with attitude, with that moxie, with power. Like, he's, if you could go sign any player right now, he's the one that the Mets would go hit on the free agent market. They had him. They drafted him. They were developing him. And they traded him for Javi Baez. But at the time, I respect going all in trying to win now, so I can't go nuts. And if I'm the Yankees, I would have done that years ago with Volpe and worry about it after the fact. Maybe get a different shortstop. Remember, if they would have traded Volpe at the time for Castillo, they could have signed any of those big shortstops that were hit the market.
Trevor Story, was that the year? Was Trevor Story available, or was that a different year? I feel like it may have been. I think it was, actually.
Story, like Turner, Seager was one.
Yeah, for sure.
Lindor was supposed to hit the market, but he didn't because the Mets traded for him and they kept him.
Those guys are always hurt. Seager's hurt again. Story's hurt again.
There was a different path.
Yeah, though there was. But that wouldn't have proven necessarily to be the right path.
Correct, but a different... Well, this hasn't because they haven't won. And even last year where I said I would have done Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns. This was before I think we knew about the Cole injury last year.
It was.
But and obviously before Heels emergence and all that. But I felt like, man, if you could get Corbin Burns and try to really solidify yourself with the loaded lineup with Juan Soto there, I would have done that. So I'd be all for it, but it's got to be the right move.
Yeah, and I'll tell you like something that now they're not going to get rid of him because they're obviously doing well and he looks like he's enjoying it. Like if you tell me that the Cubs fall apart and they want to trade Tucker and they want Lombard, I make the trade.
Yeah, right.
You know, with some, if there's some backroom assurance that he really wants to be a Yankee and he's going to sign the deal, I can't give up Lombard and have him bounce like Soto did.
Right.
But like, that's, of course, I'd give up Lombard in a situation like that. But for a guy who's got like 20 home run potential, But hits 220, 232. No way. Just a bowls, like a righty bat for a little pop. No chance.
Well, FIFA Club World Cup tickets to give away coming up at 12:20. So stay tuned for that. We were just talking during the break about that Cashman interview because I forgot what had happened during the rest of that. And he, you said something to him. You asked him a question about something, and he responded to you. Well, he's going to have you drug tested, jokingly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I guess they used to have that part. That was funny. I asked him about. You got to go back to, don't worry about it, Hal, a year ago where we were all wrapped up in like, where do the Yankees still have the urgency, like where, yeah, we know they want to win, but are they possessed and driven to win the way they used to be?
Like they're coming off you when
they do anything.
They're coming off you, they didn't make the playoffs.
Correct.
Too.
And, you know, I'm not going to read you the quotes, but I brought up Gallo and Hicks, why did it take so long to basically get rid of these guys? And, you know, I said what I said. And then I guess he responded, let me see. Quote. Well, I guess I'd have to get that drug tester over there and let you pee in a bottle so we could get that sample tested. And then he says, I'm obviously joking, but at the end of the day, I would provide, look at the roster, the expenditures, and then he got into the GM speak there.
We got to get Cash back on. Been a while.
Well, honestly, I love talking to Cash, man.
Yeah.
I do. Now, he can ramble, but well, I'm also a rambler, so I identify rambling, so you got to know when to cut him off.
I like hitting him with a quick question. Let him ramble. I like that. All right, BT and Sal, Yankees, meat of the order. Are we doing that here or not?
Yeah, we'll do it right here. Here you go. Time for the meat of the order, brought to you by, of course, Borsett. Not a whole lot happening for the meat of the order last night, and really, it's been the same song and dance for a while here. So the Yankee bats have been a little stifled, obviously. Just scratched out a couple of hits. You know, Belly obviously went yard, which is great. Meat of the order there. And same with Jazz Chisholm. But outside of that, meat of the order, a little quiet again for the Yanks. So when you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Nick is calling from South Carolina. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Sal. Good to hear you back, pal.
Thank you. Where have I been?
Or is he on Mars?
You know, you were off the, I should say BT.
Yes.
BT, when BT was off, I was listening to you, and I agreed with you. I couldn't get through. But how you were talking about the younger players and how they don't develop anymore. I think you're seeing it with Volpe. You're seeing it with Wells. You're seeing it with all these young kids coming up. They have a great first few months when they come up because nobody knows them. Pitchers don't know them. Nobody knows. All they have is some stats. And they take advantage of it. But then once the league starts to figure them out, you see what they are. And I think, BT, you're right on the money. Volpe's he's a good shortstop with an average bat, but he's never going to be, you know, anything close to a superstar. And I think Peraza, you could make the same case. You know, they've got it. Wells, I personally never was enamored with Wells.
Peraza's just not any good.
He can't hit Peraza. He'll never hit.
Yeah, and you're right. But Wells, everybody has gotten enamored with Wells as a new starting pitcher. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I loved when they started Ben Rice last night because this is what I don't understand about the Yankees. And please, if you guys can explain it to me. Ascara got drafted by Baltimore as a first baseman. They got him catching. Rice was drafted as a catcher. They got him at first base. Why do the Yankees do this always? Why do they reinvent these guys in positions that it's not their natural position? Jazz Chisholm is a second baseman. What is he doing at third? You know, he's got a rocket for an arm. And when he was at second, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but this man turns more double plays when he's at second because he's got such a quick release and a rocket for an arm.
And he's an athlete, and his footwork's quick, too, so he's out of the way.
His footwork is tremendous.
Yeah, it is. No, I like him at second. I do. Yep.
You know, I just don't understand.
He's a second baseman.
What are the Yankees thinking?
You know, I don't like it. Oops, sorry, Nick, and thank you for the call.
Bud.
A lot of good stuff there. Okay, so there's a lot there. I don't like the idea of playing guys out of position. The Mets used to do this. Used to drive me up a wall. The Yankees cannot do this. Even Ben Rice last night, like, I understand trying to work him in.
Mm-hmm.
You can have Ben Rice start catching now. This is the New York Yankees.
How about you do it when he won five straight?
Or how about you do that, I don't know, in the minors? Get him used to it, doing it regularly down there, and then come up and he can catch, he can play first, or whatever it may be like.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't understand it.
I just think that there's a lot of holes, and because the roster has not been built great for a while now, so that their internal option in their minds, and I don't love it either, but hey, let's see if the bat plays and maybe sacrifice a little defense and just shuffle guys around where they really don't belong, probably.
See, right, same thing with Jazz. Now, he could play third, but wouldn't you rather have, I don't know, a third baseman play third and have Jazz play second? We tried to bring some levity to what is an otherwise difficult situation here. Both these teams tanking. We started with the Yankees. Obviously, got into both the Mets and the Yankees here. But the Yankees, who finally scored some runs, but of course, two solo home runs accounting for the only two real hits of that game. Then they lose another game to the Angels. I just don't understand what is going on with this New York Yankee lineup.
Well, I mean, listen, the Yanks aren't hitting. That's the short version. And then, you know, obviously with the Mets aren't pitching right now. So both teams are stumbling, bumbling all over themselves, tripping in every direction. It has been so bad that you have to think that it's going to get appreciably better, hopefully very soon. I mean, we're talking bunts not getting down, base running gaffes, you know, blunders all over, bullpen implosion, starters, you know, getting hit early, and neither team really hitting a ton. So it's an ugly watch. I don't think it's fatal. I don't think it's permanent. But, boy, they're testing the limits on on what we can consume on a nightly basis watching bad baseball. It has not been this rough. So I think I heard something yesterday. Simultaneously, whether it was a lack of runs, a lack of wins, like a simultaneous long losing streak, I think the last time it was this bad was 96 for the Yanks and the Mets. Now, the Yankees won the World Series that year.
Right, Mets weren't any good.
Mets weren't that good. That was like Gilkey's team, right? Those guys, I'm pretty sure.
The thing that's crazy about this is that both teams were at the top of the sport. Now, they're still all record-wise, whatever, but we were talking about this last Friday or last Thursday, whatever, like, oh, yeah, this is great. Which team is better? On track for a Subway Series, all that stuff. And then they haven't won a game since combined, which is unbelievable that they both go into the same run at the same time. As far as the Mets go, there is, to me, legitimate reason for concern as far as proving themselves in the regular season, which they have to do. Yankees don't have to prove themselves in the regular season. We're grading them on a curve of, oh, some of these problems, yet again, that we're seeing from this team that's not the first time, might rear their ugly head in the postseason and prevent them from winning a World Series yet again. With the Mets, it's, is this team good enough to be a mainstay, a top team in the regular season, a perennial contender in their own division, and where they were playing as well as anybody in the entire sport, they go into this 10-game stretch against a dead Braves team. They get the Phillies coming up and the Braves again, and they cough up the first one in brutal fashion. Last night they get embarrassed yet again, and they give the Braves some life. So the Mets still have a long way to go as far as proving themselves in the regular season, and they just get, and not only do they get beat by Atlanta, they continue to get embarrassed by them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is an issue, and I've got a little question about a particular emoji that was floating around the social sphere last night, which I'll get to in a little bit, that may or may not have come from your account.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that later. Okay. You know, the one thing, though, when you've said this a couple times, and I know what you mean. And I don't even really disagree, because it's based on a lot of years of evidence here. But I myself, and you know this by now, I don't lean on the Yankees' history. I'm not one that gets on the air and rolls out the resume. My father-in-law's got a great expression. You know, yesterday's resume means nothing today. Doesn't matter what you did last year or 5 years ago. What are you doing today? Like, that's just a way of keeping it current. So while the Yankees generally do great in the regular season, dude, they're 1.5 games up on the Rays and the 2 up on Toronto. There's no guarantee. As much as I'm sitting here saying, well, I think the Yankees will pound their way out of it. Luis Gil coming back. Pitching's already been very good. And I do think the Yankees stabilize fairly soon. But there's nothing guaranteed. So I just push back a little. And I know what you mean about, like, the Mets. Like, they're trying to transform how they are perceived. I get it. And the only way that you do that is multiple years, you know, obviously getting to and winning a World Series for the first time since 86, but maybe more importantly is the continued success, sustained, we've always used that word, back to back to back to back, where every spring training you're like, all right, maybe this might not be a vintage Mets team, but they're going to win 90, be a wild card minimally. Like, to get to that point, you've got to do it year in and year out. And the Yankees generally do, but it's tight in the East right now for the Yankees.
Just because I'm saying that the Yankees don't need to prove themselves in the regular season doesn't mean that they're not going to be competing for the AL East. Like, obviously, each individual year, sure, they got to prove themselves. But I'm not doubting them on a level of, well, they're not good enough to win their division or be in the playoffs. We know that the Yankees, even at their worst, are going to be in the playoffs and generally win the division. The Mets haven't won a division in 10. See, here's the difference. We talk about the Mets as if they're some great team, and they have played great. And I do believe they're on their way to being a great team in a great spot with a great leader of the organization, owner, Stearns, all those different things with great players. But they haven't done it yet. And the one thing I haven't seen in my life as a fan, 30 years, they've been getting embarrassed and beaten by the Braves. They showed the camera last night, all those pennants that the Braves have, all those division winners. Mets haven't won a division in 10 years. That's a long time, BT, to not win a division.
Yeah, I know.
And really, like, winning a division, what does it mean anymore? Well, it at least shows you can compete within your own division. Not one in 10 years. Where the Braves fall out of bed, they win a division. The Phillies, same thing. Like, at least the Phillies have had some division wins. So before we put the Mets and Juan Soto and I talk about King Cullen and on the equal level with the Yankees, where I do really believe they're at or will be there soon, they've got to go out there and prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And in these two games against a team that was begging to be killed. I can't breathe. Put me away.
Take the stake. Put it in the heart.
And the Mets let him off the mat. And they, like, how are they getting embarrassed at this point when they go into the series 13 games better than the Braves? So I need to see a lot more from this group. They didn't bury the Braves a year ago.
No.
They beat them in a singular game, and both teams ended up getting into the postseason. That wasn't exercising the demons in Atlanta or against the Braves. So the Mets, that's what I mean. The Mets have a lot to prove, whereas the other teams in the AL East are always chasing the Yankees.
Win 5-1, 6-2, 6-3, 7-3 today. If they do, you'll feel a little bit better about this. I get it. The angst is high. Now let's get to Sal's tweet from last night. I don't know that I've ever seen a tweet, because there's very little for your tweets to be interpreted. You know, beautiful display of baseball in the Bronx. Alvarez.
That was the other night.
I know. Okay, Alvarez, the offense is bad enough. The place you should ship him to the minors. Like, we know what Sal's thinking when Sal tweets. Last night.
Yeah.
Little unsure. We're going to need a little translation here, partner.
Yeah.
So around 14 hours ago, 9:15, 9:20-ish, Sal simply tweeted an emoji, and it is a waving white flag.
Yes.
Now, are you waving the white flag, call of mercy, Braves don't hurt me again? Is this a big picture thing?
Not a big
what
picture.
What is the white flag for?
I couldn't take it anymore, Mets Braves. Can't take it anymore. I give up. Mercy. I give up. And that's what I mean. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be against the Braves. I can't do it anymore against the Braves. Mercy with this damn team. I just can't stomach losing to the Braves. The Mets will be fine. They'll be a playoff team. They'll bounce back. I still think they're going to win the division. In that moment, it was specifically to that game, which was over. The game was over before it started. And by the way, remember yesterday I was saying, like, oh, I thought they'd be minus 220. They ended up being minus 190.
Yeah.
I should have just bet the house on the Braves.
I remember that.
I mean, come on. Now, whatever. 2-1 is not great odds, but the Braves are going to win that game. Blackburn had no chance. Mets had no chance. Right out of the gate, they're fumbling all over themselves, giving away free runs. The first batter for, the Braves, Acuna, dancing around the base paths. That's what I mean. Like, I just can't take the Mets' futility and ineptitude against that team, in particular in that building. That was the white flag.
Okay, just wanted to see. Now, maybe there's some good Braves odds that you want to jump on today.
What is it?
Make a few bucks here.
What is it? Strider versus Holmes.
Let me see. I'm trying to find this, and I believe that this... Okay, here we go. So, yep, Strider, Holmes. I mean, I wouldn't bet against Holmes. He's been doing well.
Yeah. I think the Mets can win tonight.
I hear you.
And one singular win will calm everything down. But if they lose tonight, dude, full panic mode tomorrow.
Okay, Mets. Oh, that'll be fun because it'll be thousands of people getting to see us at Fanatics Fest with Sal flipping out. Let's go, Bravos. Mets plus 109 today. Braves minus 129 total. You know,
I think the Mets win tonight.
You think they do?
I do.
I wouldn't surprise me. I think Holmes has been good. I might mess around and take the over-under. Over-under's 8. Now, how many pitches is Holmes going to go?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing.
It's the problem.
I know. But then, the Mets bullpen, they got to use. They didn't really use any of their A guys last night. I think the Mets will bounce back and win tonight. And same thing with the Yankees. Like, Yankees this afternoon, they're coming up a little bit. We'll get to that lineup. Let's get to the new Yankee lineup here because it is different from Booney. But same thing. Like, all this, I don't want to say panic because I don't think everybody's really going into panic, but it is frustrating and perplexing to see two great teams play as poorly as they have for this full almost week now of action. This baseball brief was brought to you by Guinness Stout. It's a lovely day for a pint of Guinness.
All right, Yankees baseball coming up 12:25 here on The Fan. Of course, the pregame first pitch on The Fan as well. So this is one of the issues we talked about. Grisham was getting some runners, the leadoff man. And then Dominguez got a look now back to Goldschmidt, who was also hit leadoff a little bit during the spring and during the early part of this season. So it's Goldschmidt 1, Belly up to the 2 spot. You got Judge and Stanton. Is that the first time Stanton's been in the 4-hole? Am I missing that? Anyway, Goldschmidt, Belly, Judge, Stanton. You gotta like that on paper. Jazz 5, Volpe 6, Wells 7. I actually like this offensive lineup. DJ 8, who's been okay. And then Grisham back where he belongs. Bother me or the order. Batting 9th, playing center. Carlos Rodon is on the bump.
Yeah, see, so I was thinking this the other night. Boone is, and he admits this. he's too married to the splits. He likes, meaning the lefty-righty, having the versatility throughout the lineup, right? I like it myself, but I think sometimes you could be too focused on stacking lefties. Oh, I don't want to do that. Like the Mets with Nimmo and Soto. Initially, it's like, oh, no, you can't do that. Have two lefties back-to-back. You know what? It's Juan Soto's one of those lefties. You're fine. Just go with your best hitters.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing here with Judge and Stanton stacking those righties. You could have balanced the rest of the way, but you do want to have some protection for Judge. What better protection in the Yankee lineup than Giancarlo Stanton for Aaron Judge?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, again, if he hits one and he's got a leg one out, like, let's see, here's the problem with Stanton. I mean, I don't know if it happens tonight, but I promise you, or today, it's going to happen at some point. You know, Stanton to stay if he stays in the four spot. Now, if he's hitting home runs, that's great. You'll live with it. But first and second, Yankees up a run, down a run, tie game, high leverage late. And, you know, because he literally has to jog in what maybe could be, you know, beating down the line and breaking up a double play and having a run score because he hits rockets and he hits sometimes right at him. You know, you just know that it's basically got to be on grass or in the gap for him to have a hit or over the wall.
We had,
it's a tough way to play.
We had, just looking at the lineup here, BT, when we had Boone opening day out at the stadium. Now, it's a long season, different lineups. But remember, we were both, I think, saying, why wouldn't you have Bellinger in front of Aaron Judge?
Yeah, who batted leadoff? Was that Ben Rice that day? I think it may have been Ben Rice.
I forget what he did that day.
I think it was Ben Rice.
Nah, could have been Goldschmidt. Either way, the point was, we thought that the lineup was going to be Judge 3, Bellinger 2.
Yeah.
To get the best out of Bellinger because you have Judge behind him. And instead, I think it was Judge 2, Bellinger 3. This should be the Yankees 2, 3, 4. I don't care who they want to hit leadoff. Figure it out. Like, Goldie's hot. You want to try to go with, well, I guess you really don't have many other options. Got to be Goldie. You know, Grisham's cooled off to this point. Who else are you going to put there? You're not going to put Volpe or Austin Wells there. Oh, maybe it was Austin Wells. No, remember they had Austin Wells.
It was Wells. I'm looking at it.
He started the game with the home run.
I got it for you. It was Wells 1, Judge 2, Bellinger 3, Goldschmidt 4, Chisholm, Dominguez, Volpe, Rice, Cabrera.
Right. So my question to him was, why not Bellinger in front of Judge? Just didn't make sense. Like, I want Bellinger to get that protection. And now with Stanton, you had that. Forget stacking the righties.
Uh-huh.
This is how the Yankee lineup should be every day. You want to change it beyond them? I would not have Jazz hitting 5 for
the
record.
Would you go? Would you go Wells?
I'd rather have Austin Wells there. If you want, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%, dude. I'm tired of watching Jazz try to be a power hitter.
Well, you say 100%. Austin Wells is hitting 210.
I understand that. I still just trust him more as a hitter given quality at bats. But either way, it's slim pickings right now.
Yep.
I think you could argue leadoff hitter and 5 through 9. I do not think they should be messing with 2, 3, 4. It should be Bellinger, Judge, Stanton the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I think if Stanton stays healthy and, you know, and he's had some hits early on, I think you will see this, and forget about the names, just from a righty-lefty perspective, they're looking at righty-lefty, righty-righty, lefty-righty, lefty-righty, lefty today. That's what they have going on.
Tickets to the Red Bulls to go see Messi.
Oh, wow, look
you
at
know,
you.
You know who Messi is, right?
Oh, stop, of course, man, 100%.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah, 1,000%. Like, Ronaldo, right, Messi.
What's his first name?
Leon.
Okay, Leo.
I know Messi, dude.
Because I barely knew it.
I think it's Lee.
Lionel Messi. Anyway, it's a big deal when he comes to the Red Bull Arena.
Yes.
So they were like, hey, you know, whatever, if you want to buy tickets, let us know. So and my family wanted to go.
Okay.
So I did. And I was like, all right, I'll take 2 for myself. Be a cool event, like the way Sammy Stein, like, you know Sammy. He was great.
Sammy's
great,
fantastic.
Yeah. He was talking about, he's like, dude, last year was insane. I'm like, you know what? It's great. And it's 30 minutes from my house. Not a big deal at all.
What is it?
July 19th.
Go ahead.
So it's a Saturday, July 19th.
Perfect.
Right? Exactly. Other than July 19th, the Mets are retiring David Wright's number. What do you do here?
Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm sorry, soccer. I mean, no disrespect. If I'm you, again, I'm answering this from your shoes. That's my boy.
I know, but it's a half hour from where I am. My family wants to go.
Wait, does your family want to go, or did you encourage them?
No. I'm not talking about my wife and daughter. I'm talking about my
mom.
My wife's family.
Oh,
they wanted to go.
Like, so they're actually proactively into it.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a tougher call, my friend.
Yeah, so they're definitely going, and I have the 2 tickets to go. The other thing is I might be able to thread the needle and do both, but you know that's going to be one of those decisions I'll wake up that morning and be like, what did I get myself into?
That sounds good on June 19th. That sounds like hell on July 19th.
Because Wright is at 4 o'clock. So I could, just like I did with Doc, go for the retirement, see the number go up, and then bounce.
Yeah, I remember he left there. Didn't it rain for Doc a little bit? I remember coming back from a game, and it was raining, listening to the ceremony. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. It was raining a little bit. So either way, I still feel like I got to be at the right ceremony, but
Do you have to go? Why can't
I don't have
you,
to go to either. Really.
No, well, that's true.
Probably want to end up doing nothing. Why don't you just watch them?
Get the tickets and let your wife's family go so that they're into it and you go watch David Ryan.
Understood, but I did get the two extra tickets thinking like maybe my wife and I could go.
Got it.
And then hang out with her family.
It sounds like a great family environment.
Well, here's the thing. I get to like appease my wife because it's with her family a little bit.
Yep.
And at the same time, I'm going to a sporting event that would be cool to check out to see Messi. So like it's kind of, okay, well, we could do both, you know? But at total cost. Now I'm going to lose David Wright and not see the number go up.
Who's your three favorite Mets of all time?
See, I think Wright is now borderline, like, it's too close to me being in my adulthood beyond my peak fandom. This is, like, the end of the line.
I feel you on that. You so who are your top three?
Piazza.
Piazza one, I knew that. Yeah.
I mean, Doc. Well, and then the way I was just fine, I didn't even go to Darryl's. I went to Doc's.
Mm-hmm.
You say my three favorite Mets of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, David Wright. I love the other guy.
He's not on the list.
No, Wright's not on the list. Well, I love him.
You got to go.
Personally, I love him. Great, great person.
Yeah, he is.
And I think out of respect, I owe it to him to be there as a fan, not like me, you know, but out of respect for what he's done for the organization and being the face of the franchise and handling himself the way that he is.
Class.
That's exactly.
He's my favorite Met of all time.
That's what makes me want to go. So I got to
think. You want to go, but you're not.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.